The time we've had this morning, it's the first line of a song that's kept going round in my mind, be still for the presence of the Lord. And, you know, that we were praying about the Lord's presence in the prayer meeting this morning. And I just pray as we look at God's word, the presence of the Lord will just stay with us and get stronger and stronger. I've got three passages today to read out, very short ones, so have your Bibles ready. Genesis chapter 5. And it's verses 21 to 24. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God, then he was no more because God took him away. Did I give you the right verses, 21 to 24? Yeah. Can you now move to Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 11. And it's verses 5 to 6. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And then finally, that book, Jude, the one just before Revelation, Jude verses 14 and 15. Jude 14 and 15. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts they have done in the ungodly way and of all the harsh words ungodly sinners has spoken against him. So we're going to look at those three passages. You could say one of the common denominators of those three passages is Enoch and his walk with God. So let us just pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Now in the beginning, before the fall of man, Adam and Eve lived their lives in harmony as God intended. Not only did they enjoy tending and caring for the garden where they lived, but they took great pleasure in walking with God in the cool of the day. Today we live in a fallen world, yet it is still possible to walk with God. And it's not just the Sunday morning experience in church that God is after. He's also after a daily walk. So how do we get there? How do we learn to live with God and walk with him? I wonder if you remember a man called Arthur Blessett. You may have seen him on television, probably as far back as the 1970s or 80s, when he walked around the UK carrying a 12-foot wooden cross. And at the bottom of the cross, there was a small wheel attached to stop it bumping and scraping along the ground. Since the start of his journey on Christmas Day, 1968, Arthur Blessett has walked nearly 42,000 miles. He's been to 324 countries, island groups, and territories. He's walked on all seven continents, including Antarctica. And he's listed in the Guinness Book of Records for the world's longest walk. The number of steps he's estimated to have walked is 83 million, and he's still carrying the cross to this day at 77 years old. And as part of his testimony, Arthur Blessett says, "At 5 a.m. one morning, Jesus spoke to me, 'Arthur, take the cross off the wall of your building, carry the cross on foot, identify my message on the highways and roadsides where the people are.'" And so this year marks the 50th anniversary since Arthur started carrying a cross around the world in his walk with God. Arthur Blessett's walk should remind us that the Christian life is a journey, and that the most important thing on our faith journey is learning to walk with God. Not just believing there is a God, but walking with God in a real relationship, step by step, day by day. Some of us here this morning, myself included, did not start our walk with God until later in life. And in our reading from Genesis 5, we also find that Enoch did not always walk with God. In fact, Enoch's 300-year-long walk did not start until he was 65 years old, when he had his first son, Methuselah. Now, the name of Enoch's first son, Methuselah, is fascinating because in Hebrew, it literally means "his death shall bring it," or loosely translated, when he dies, it will come. In other words, when Methuselah dies, the flood will come, as recorded in Genesis chapters 6 to 8. Perhaps we can visualize God saying to Enoch, "You see your little baby here, Enoch. When his life comes to an end, I will judge the world of its sin." And perhaps it's no wonder that Enoch began to walk with God after his son Methuselah was born. Now, just for a moment, think back to the birth of your first child, or think back to a significant experience in your life, and imagine God named it Methuselah. And God said to you, "When the life of your child, or the life of this thing, or this experience passes, then I'm going to come in judgment." Would that make any difference to your life? Would you be like Enoch and turn to God and walk with him for the rest of your life? In our Genesis reading, the grace of God is revealed in that Methuselah lived longer than any other man, 969 years. This is how long God waited before he fulfilled the warning implied in the name of Enoch's firstborn son. Can we imagine what a fascination Methuselah must have been to his family, and how they watched him every time he went out? But God let him live longer than anybody else to reveal the heart and compassion of a God who dislikes bringing judgment, but by his holy nature, he has to. Now, for those who like doing maths, consider this. When God created Adam, we'll call that year one. From Genesis 5, we can go down the family line and work out that Methuselah was born 687 years later. That's year 687. Methuselah lived for 969 years. So if we add 969 to 687, we get 1,656. That's the year that Methuselah died. Remember that year, 1,656. In the same way, if we go down the family line, we know that Noah was born in the year 1056. The Bible tells us that he lived for 600 years when the flood, the judgment of God, came. Add 600 to 1056. What do we get? 1656. So there we are. We have two different calculations, and they both come up with the same year when Methuselah died and the flood came. With the birth of Methuselah, Enoch's life changed as he began to walk with God. The name Enoch means dedicated, or it means disciplined. Nowhere in Scripture do we read that Enoch was the father of a nation like Abraham, or a charismatic leader like Moses, or a warrior like Gideon, or even a king like David. And this is exciting because it shows us that Enoch was an ordinary man like you and me. And that tells us that we too can become a man or a woman of God. We can walk with God and we can know God in the deepest sense of the word. Genesis 5 verse 24 tells us what happened to Enoch. For the scripture says, Enoch walked with God, then he was no more because God took him away. Instead of dying, God took him away. In other words, Enoch was lifted off the earth while he was alive and was taken directly into God's presence. One moment he was on the earth and the next he was in heaven. This unique experience is a witness to us today of the desire and eagerness God has to walk with us. Enoch is a wonderful example for believers who will also be taken up to heaven when our Lord returns for his bride, the church. Just as Enoch was taken up to heaven without seeing death, so also it will be for those of God's people who are alive at the rapture. For the Bible says, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Enoch did not die. He was not kidnapped. No one killed him. And he did not waste away with some dreadful disease. He simply walked with God so long that he walked all the way from heaven to earth. And there's that lovely, often told story, I'm sure you've heard of it before, of the little girl who was telling her mother about Enoch. And she said, Enoch used to take long walks with God. One day he walked so far that God said, it's too far to go back. Come home with me. That's what happened to Enoch. Now Hebrews 11 verses 5 to 6. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Faith is the essential basic requirement for a walk with God. And because Enoch faith walked with God, that pleased God. Right now, the most crucial issue of our life is whether we are really walking with God. This is more important than what we're doing for him, what we give to him, or any achievements that we might attain. A walk with God is not a hop, skip, and a jump, or a leap. It's a walk. It's a step-by-step process to bring God's influence on the steps we make in our life so that God becomes a part of our decision-making, our thought processes, our relationships, our schedules, so that everything about us will come into alignment with God. In other words, walking with God is a picture the Bible often uses to describe the Christian lifestyle. It's a picture of doing life together with God. When we walk with someone and do not keep in step with them, we can experience instability and bump into each other. And when I met Hazel at a Christian convention, we decided to go and have a coffee so we could get to know each other better. And as we walked to the cafe, I was surprised when she put her arm through mine.
Very
cool. Yeah. I wasn't used to a stranger doing that. But looking back, we laugh about it. And whenever I tease Hazel about it, she always tells me she put her arm through mine so we wouldn't bump into each other. And that's right.
I don't believe that.
Yeah. Well, anyway, the thought... I think, you know, that's right, because, you know, when I think of my walk with God, I like to think of my arm linked with his so I can keep steady and walk in harmony with him. So if we are to walk with God, we must stay in step with him and at the same pace. The prophet Amos revealed this important truth about what it means to walk with God when he asked, "Can two walk together unless they are agreed?" The word used for together gives the idea of two people moving in rhythm together. For Enoch to walk in rhythm with God, he had to be reconciled to God, to be in agreement about the remedy of his sin, to be in agreement about God's standard and character of holiness. We too must be in agreement, and this is how it must be. There must be no controversy between us and God. And if we're going to walk in rhythm with him, we have to agree with the things as God sees them. Sometimes we run ahead of God and we mess things up. We get out of rhythm with God. And when difficult situations come into our lives, the question is, how are we going to respond? When we model our life to being like that of a patchwork quilt made up of many individual squares sewn together, then we can be tempted to say, "Okay, God, these squares are yours, but these other squares of my life I will not give to you because it's too difficult and too painful." So we decide that this square is for Sunday mornings, and this is the time we're going to give to God. However, we will keep some days and times for ourselves over here on these other squares of the quilt. So we say, "God, I've given you these squares. You should be happy with Sunday mornings. But I'm going to keep Sunday afternoon and all the time I'm at work, and whatever else during the week, for myself, because they belong to me. Also in this square, God, I'm going to love you. But in these other squares, these other areas of my life, you can't have my heart." But let's understand that God accepted Jesus' total life, because Jesus said, "I do always those things that please the Father." In other words, Jesus didn't have a patchwork quilt kind of life. And so for us too, every act of our lives, every part of our lives, every square inch of our lives should be a contribution to the glory of God and a part of our walk with God. God has a special part for each of us to play. He has a significant place that only you can fill. But before you can move into that place, you have to learn how to walk with God. Once we've taken that first step, God will begin to show us how we should walk with him. And he will teach us how to walk in the light of his truth and love, will discover ways to avoid obstacles that separate us from him. We'll learn to walk away from fear, depression, condemnation, loneliness, loss, and discouragement. And we'll understand what it means to walk through storms with the comfort of his presence. Walking is the perfect picture of the Christian life because it's a series of small steps in the same direction as God's, which will get us from where we are to where we need to be. As we walk with God, it's his desire we become more and more dependent on him for every step, because he wants to take us to places where we've never been. And in doing so, we will have to walk through valleys, over dangerous mountains, across rough ground, along narrow paths, until we understand we cannot take a single step without his help. Learning to walk with God is a process. And just when we think everything is sorted, he leads us into unfamiliar territory, and we are reminded again that on our own we stumble. Yet when we take his hand, we have the ability to continue. When we surrender our life to God, he can make the crooked path straight. If we are heading in the wrong direction, he can turn us around. If we come to a full stop, he can get us moving. And if we are going around in circles, he can redirect us to our destination. Walking with God means taking a step when God insists. Perhaps we've been resisting for quite a while, but then we take a step and we feel good because we've accomplished something. Then God comes along and says, "Now I want you to take another step." And we say, "Oh no, Lord, I had a hard enough time taking that last step. Just leave me alone for a while." And the worst thing that can happen to us is for God to do exactly that. That's what God did with the children of Israel when they came to the edge of the promised land. He said, "I want you to walk with me into the land." But they said, "No, not at us. You go by yourself, but we're not going." So God said, "All right then, you will wander for 40 years in the wilderness until you come back to this place." But Enoch was a man who had learned to move as God moved and to walk in step with him. Walking with God is not like a walk in the park. For more often than not, it entails walking against the social customs and behaviours of the day and walking to a different drumbeat from that of society. And so it was in Enoch's day, for he took a stand and prophesied judgment to an ungodly world, a world that was so evil and corrupt that it was on the fast track to drowning in a worldwide flood. In Jude 14 to 15, it says that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men. "See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts they have done in the ungodly way and of all the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Like Enoch, the person who walks with God will keep in step with God, even if it means not conforming to the norms of society. Today we live in extraordinary times when God is being given a makeover, so we have a new, softer, more palatable and culturally acceptable God. The stumbling blocks of the cross, of sin, hell, and judgment are increasingly being airbrushed from the Christian message. And now, overwhelmed by opposition, some Christians have retreated from the public square. They've given up the fight against the cruelties of abortion, the normalizing of homosexuality, and the rejection of our Christian heritage. But as Christians, we are called to take our stand and let the world know that our walk is with God. We're to nail our colours to God's mast and take our stand with the Word of God, and not to give in to the ungodliness we see in our society today. Now, one question lingers. What are we doing today in this world of moral chaos, corruption, and tension? Because Enoch walked with God, he saw the world for what it is. And so our highest purpose in these times is to walk with God. For how we live will determine how we leave this world. Walking with God means living moment by moment with him in the present. Some people live in the past, some people live in the future. But we walk with God in the day-to-day moments. We go with it now as each moment unfolds. That is the only way to have any real relationship with God. Otherwise, we will miss what he is doing. Noah didn't one day decide he was going to build a giant boat, and then after he was finished, ask God to do something with it that would make him famous. Not at all. Noah walked with God, and God blessed him. Abraham didn't suddenly say to Sarah one day, "Let's sell up and wander in the desert, and then ask God to lead us somewhere." No, Abraham walked with God, and God told him to leave his country and go to a place he would show him, and God blessed him. Moses didn't just decide one day to go to Pharaoh and ask him to release 1 million people so they could all go to another country. No, Moses was quietly minding his own flock, as God had instructed him to do, when suddenly he heard the Lord's call to him from the middle of the burning bush. When Moses waited for God's instructions, the Lord blessed everything he did. Like Enoch, these men were walking with God in their daily lives. God spoke to them and told them what to do. They did it, and God blessed them. Can there be a lesson here for us? When we want what God wants, when we surrender our will and our agenda, when his purposes become our purposes, when we walk with God, then our lives dramatically change and we find purpose and meaning in everything that happens to us. Life becomes an adventure with God every day. And when that happens, our lives become joyful, visibly different, and God is pleased with us. All of us can have a great future ahead as we move out of our past and walk step by step with God. God created us to walk with him. So what are we waiting for? Just do it and keep on walking. Thanks be to God. Amen.